This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, and we're back again with another Fun Drive special. As Michael mentioned, we're going to be on 3 hours today during our regular Taking Aim broadcast from 5 to 6 in the Tri-State New York region. And again, after the news, the WBAI news, we'll be on from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. So stay tuned and call your friends, your family, your colleagues, and tell them to listen in after they get home from work. Today we're going to play an excerpt, another excerpt, a different one, from our Barack Obama False Hope and Short Change series. This is compiled on one CD in the MP3 format, 13 edited, intensely edited programs on this one CD, Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change, for your contribution to WBAI for $60. $60, and you're going to get 11 hours and 15 minutes of programming, all within one CD for your contribution. And you'll be a member of WBAI. You'll be participating in WBAI decision-making. Remember, this is your station, WBAI. The number to jot down now is 212-209-2950. And if you've contributed previously for Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change, now is your opportunity to get this historic CD for a member of your family or to give as a gift to a friend. In this, we discuss who Barack Obama is, how he was selected for the Democratic Party nomination, why he was selected for the Democratic Party nomination, and what could be expected in the Barack Obama administration, which is coming to play as we speak. Again, today we're going to play an excerpt from Obama's War Cabinet, The Depths of Duplicity, and we will be discussing what is taking place. And in the front page of the New York Times today, Commander's Aster is tied to a shift in Afghan war. The General David McKiernan became the first commander in a war theater of combat since Douglas MacArthur during the Korean War to be dismissed by a president. This is considered to be an intense shakeup. Afghanistan, according to the Pentagon officials, has become the military's top priority, even more important than the war in Iraq, writes Tom Shanker in the New York Times. Who is the man who is replacing McKiernan? McKiernan is considered too conventional. He, during the recent Iraq sale, called for more troops than the Pentagon was willing to put forward. This was a big debate within the Pentagon. Instead, they are replacing McKiernan with Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal, a former commander of the Joint Special Operations Command. What does this mean? He was the Chief of Staff of Military Operations in 2001 and 2002 and recently ran all commando operations in Iraq. Ralph, do you want to discuss what the implication of this change is for people here in the United States? And particularly in Afghanistan.
It's an escalation of the Operation of Phoenix programs, assassination units and death squads. The tactics and the strategy of dealing with a population in insurgency. Actually, Maya, this has been a part of the essential dynamic of U.S. imperialism for nearly 100 years. And in fact, there's nothing particularly new about this. There is a series of societies that are targeted for destabilization, for fragmentation, and imperialism takes these in relation to the resources they present and the extent to which the population has sought some form of social organization that can wrest control over their own natural resources for themselves. It is an intrinsic characteristic of U.S. imperialism and the dependency of capitalism upon arms production that the concept of the long war is perpetually advanced. We saw this with James Woolsey and the World War IV doctrine of the neoconservatives. Ironically, a liberal, namely Tom Hayden, in a series in The Nation called Understanding the Long War, put forward an explanation of what, frankly, Marxists and critics of U.S. capitalism have been explaining and documenting and presenting as the intrinsic character of the system for many, many, many decades.
And we'll discuss this in greater detail when we return after the excerpt. Let's start looking at what is taking place. Obama is going to raise troop levels to more than 60,000 in Afghanistan alone. 60,000, spreading an intensifying war. This is no peace, President.
The number is actually 60 now, 70 soon, and more after that.
And with that, let's go to our excerpt from Obama's War Cabinet, The Depths of Duplicity. And remember to call 212-209-2950.
Barack Obama was elected president by tens of millions of Americans, hoping that he would end the war in Iraq. They had expectations that he would be a peace candidate. But far from bringing an end to U.S. militarism, President-elect Obama, in announcing his new administration, is preparing to consolidate a U.S. presence in Iraq and escalate the war in Afghanistan, and precipitate a war with Pakistan. The prospect of this dangerous new war looms as Obama's advisors lay out their plans for confronting Iran, too. On Monday, December 1st, Barack Obama announces his war cabinet. New York Senator and former First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton as Secretary of State. Robert M. Gates, the current Secretary of Defense and former CIA Director, remaining in his position. General James Jones, the former NATO commander, overseeing the troops in Afghanistan, and currently a pitchman for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce position on energy, will become the National Security Advisor. Interestingly, the peace groups are giving Barack Obama time. They are saying he hasn't even been in office. Let's give him a chance. Yet, as Stratfor, the think tank of intelligence, commented on November 26th, quote, Obama's supporters believed that Obama's position on Iraq was profoundly at odds with the Bush administration's. We could never clearly locate the difference, Stratfor commented, and then went on to say, the brilliance of Obama's presidential campaign was that he convinced his hardcore supporters that he intended to make a radical shift in policies across the board without ever specifying what policies he was planning to shift and never locking out the possibility of a flexible interpretation of his commitments. Let's look at what one of his stalwart supporters said. Marilyn Katz, a veteran of the peace movement dating back to her days as a member of Students for a Democratic Society. She helped organize the October 2002 rally in Chicago's Federal Plaza, where Obama declared his opposition to what he called, quote, a dumb war. She admitted that many liberals chose to ignore the part of the speech that Obama had made in that Chicago Federal Plaza that they forgot, where Obama stressed that he was not against military force and he actually urged more aggressive pursuit of Al-Qaeda. Barack Obama is consistent with the position of a war cabinet. Quote, Katz said, a lot of people took his position on Iraq and projected our politics onto him. And that was never him. It was never true. Today on Taking Aim, we discuss Obama's war cabinet. Ralph?
Maya, the former apartheid Prime Minister of South Africa, Verwoerd, once said famously, it is possible that not every liberal is a communist, but I have yet to meet a communist who didn't pretend he was a liberal. And what Fairfoot was alluding to was this posture of those who are, in a sense, the legatees of the Stalinized Communist Party in the United States and indeed in the world, to provide cover for a sector of the bourgeoisie, and forever to foment the illusion in that sector of the ruling class, and to induce those who are aspiring to challenge or to change the politics of imperialism and the inevitable exploitation and repression and criminal rapacity of the capitalist ruling class, forever to mislead and to direct those who want change into the arms of their very oppressors. These are liberal enablers, for the real obstacle to change in our society constitutes not support for the, quote, right wing or the Republican Party or that wing of capital that is explicit, but rather for those who purport to represent some modification or some reform containment of the ruling class, but in fact are as deeply embedded in the implementation of these ruling class policies as any of their colleagues who are, for cosmetic purposes, postured as nominal opponents. When we listen to the mewling and bleating of those who had whipsawed people into supporting the Democratic Party yet one more time, casting aside their intelligence and their experience into one more time beating the bushes for support for another Democrat, another faker, another misleader, what kind of language are they using about the war cabinet of Barack Obama? It's deeply disturbing. This is continuity. This is not change. It reminds me of Casablanca, the famous film with Humphrey Bogart, which had its own Stalinist content. We could address that another time. When the police commissioner in Casablanca, who has been taking money for his cut from the proceeds of gambling at Rick's place, wants to shut down Rick's, he says, "Gambling? Gambling? I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Pro-war politics on the part of a Democrat? Deception on the part of the president-elect when it comes to determining policy? I'm shocked. I'm shocked." It's what the Jesuits call invincible ignorance. The selection by Barack Obama of his cabinet flows consistently with the embrace of the ruling class, with his call for continuity, with his politics of moving across partisan lines. Let's refer back to the program that we did last week. We ended with a discussion of the Attorney General selected by Barack Obama and the so-called illusion of change. Eric Holder was the enabler of the pardon we discussed of the billionaire fugitive investor and Zionist operative Mark Rich. And that was done through the corruption of the then-president of the United States, Bill Cheney. But the enabler...
Bill Clinton.
Excuse me, Bill Clinton, yes. The distinction is also in the slip. Clinton and Mark Rich were like lips to the teeth. And Mark Rich, by the way, was represented in his quest for a pardon from his multiple crimes and sequestering of corrupt funds by, appropriately enough, Lewis Scooter Libby. But the person who facilitated this was Eric Holder, the black functionary who was the first African-American to become now, as the New York Times put it, the nation's top law enforcement official. What's particularly important about the role of Eric Holder, because it illuminates what this representative of the ruling class really amounts to, and I'm speaking now of Barack Obama. Eric Holder was in the party's leadership for police state measures enacted under the Bush administration. Eric Holder played the leading role in the reauthorization of the Patriot Act in 2005, for which, of course, Barack Obama also voted. Eric Holder parlayed his government service into a lucrative position at the Washington, D.C. lobbying firm of Covington & Burling, which counts Big Tobacco amongst its most important clients. Eric Holder... His most high-profile case was his representation of Chiquita Brands International, whose multimillionaire executives faced charges of aiding terrorism because they armed and financed the right-wing death squads of Colombia. And Eric Holder was the enabler. He got Chiquita off the hook. He made arrangements with the Justice Department that instead of indicting them for conspiracy to commit murder and assassination and holding them for criminal charges for the deaths of thousands of Colombian peasants, they were not fined more than 0.55% of their annual revenue, despite massive evidence and the company's own admissions that it had paid out tens of millions of dollars to the so-called Self-Defense Forces of Colombia, known by their Spanish acronym AUC. They carried out the massacre, assassination, kidnapping, and torture of tens of thousands of Colombian workers, peasants, trade union officials, and left-wing political activists. Half of the payments were made after AUC had already been designated a foreign terrorist organization and a full year after the Justice Department pro forma warned Chiquita that it would face prosecution for aiding and abetting terrorism if it did not cease to provide the funds for the assassination program in Colombia. But this was official policy. It wasn't just Chiquita. It was Dole Pineapple. It was Del Monte. It was Coca-Cola. It was at the heart of the politics of the Clinton administration, and a facilitator for the death squad operations in Colombia was the now Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Holder. The champion of so-called civil and democratic rights? The defender of the oppressed? No, the legal servant of the corporations involved in criminality, in mass murder, and repression. And the chief law enforcement officer for the transition team and the facilitator of Eric Holder as Attorney General, why, the current FBI Director Robert Mueller, who will be maintained. He will be maintained in not only the politics of Bush, but in the politics of Holder under Clinton. Death squad apparatus, death squad operations. And Gates and Holder are, again, like lips to the teeth. Cohen Hallinan on September 10th, 2008. Business as usual for the Obama administration. The return of U.S. death squads from Afghanistan to Africa. Philip Alston of the United Nations Human Rights Council has stated that heavily armed international death squads are murdering scores of Afghan civilians. He spoke to a series of operations across Afghanistan coordinated by the United States and, of course, its Secretary of Defense, Mr. Gates. But that's not just a matter of Afghanistan. The AFRICOM that's now being set up across Africa to facilitate U.S. securing of complete dominance and control over African oil is accompanied by what? Why, death squads, special forces, CIA units. This is the politics of Holder, and it is the politics of Gates, and it's above all the politics of Barack Obama.
Ralph, your point is well taken. Let's return to the Wall Street Journal and its editorial of November 28th, Obama's War Cabinet, with the subtitle, Gates and Jones Are Welcome Signs of Continuity. Continuity is exactly what the Wall Street Journal promotes. The names floated for Barack Obama's national security team are drawn exclusively from conservative, centrist, and pro-military circles without even a single, yes, not one, chosen to represent the anti-war wing of the Democratic Party. Now, that is not a quote from the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal is herein quoting Robert Dreyfus, who wrote in The Nation magazine on its website. But what the Wall Street Journal states, who are we to interfere with Dreyfus's despair? The Gates selection, the Wall Street Journal notes, is an implicit endorsement of President Bush's surge in Iraq and its military architect, General David Petraeus. More broadly, it recognizes that America will continue to deal with a daunting post-9/11 security environment. Most tellingly, the Wall Street Journal notes that the people of the United States are going to be too busy, as they say, too preoccupied with the economy, end quote, to notice what Barack Obama is doing. And Mr. Obama will have plenty of political running room, one, as a result of Americans being preoccupied with the economy, and two, with their giving him room to move. Quote, his own pledge to remove most combat troops by 2010 leaves open exactly what he means by combat and most. The new status of forces agreement with Iraq also commits the U.S. to leave by 2011 These decisions can now be made with a view to the realities in Iraq rather than to the American campaign trail. End of quote. And the New York Times substantiates what is said in the Wall Street Journal. On November 27th, an article by Tom Shanker, who writes on the military for the New York Times, Common Ground for Defense Chief and Obama. As defined by his commander-in-chief, the mission of Defense Secretary Robert M. Gates for the last 2 years has been to win the war in Iraq. But beginning on January 20th, Mr. Gates' mission will be to end the war in Iraq, notes the New York Times, under an agreement with a new commander-in-chief, President-elect Barack Obama. This contrast might seem to leave Mr. Gates consigned to serious whiplash. But what the New York Times reporter Tom Shanker notes is that there is no whiplash. In fact, there is common ground. Currently, there are 15 combat brigades out of 50 brigades in Iraq, with the other brigades providing supplies, protection, and care of the troops. But there are also an equal number of private support personnel, that is, mercenaries and private personnel hired by Blackwater and the other companies. So when they talk about moving troops, what they are talking about is maintaining troops in Iraq, as many as 70,000, and then shifting troops to Afghanistan. As Mr. Gates told Congress in September, quote, I would urge our leaders to keep in mind that we should expect to be involved in Iraq for years to come. Ralph?
Maya, Barack Obama did an interview on Democracy Now! In which he addressed specifically the question of troop quantities and the number of troops to be maintained in Iraq. He stated that he intends to retain 140,000 mercenaries, these contract killers. It's Blackwater, it's DynCorp, it's the whole panoply of privatized killing apparatus that is answerable to nobody except the proto-fascist collusion with the repressive state. He stated he intends to maintain 140,000 of these mercenaries in Iraq and up to 100,000 additional U.S. troops. Barack Obama doesn't have to depend upon Robert Gates for a politics of support for escalation of the war in Iraq. He is the articulator of this very program himself. He is not merely being aided by those he is appointing to his cabinet. He is calling the shots with respect to that policy. And that's the gravamen of having the continuity of Robert Gates. And the Wall Street Journal is very clear. If the reports are correct, and the president-elect asks Robert Gates to stay on as Secretary of Defense, and if he names retired Marine General James Jones as the National Security Advisor, these are the administration posts most critical to the successful conduct of new wars, not just the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but of wars with Iran, with North Korea, and who knows where else with these personnel picks. For Mr. Obama has revealed his bias for competence, experience, and continuity. The Gates selection is an endorsement of President Bush's surge in Iraq and its military architect, General David Petraeus. More broadly, it recognizes, states the Wall Street Journal, that America will continue to deal with the post-9/11 security environment. As a member of the Iraq study group, Mr. Gates was against the surge before Bush made support for a condition of his taking the Pentagon job. But he has supervised the successful, new, enhanced, enlarged counterinsurgency strategy in Iraq and championed a new generation of military leaders, chiefly General Petraeus, who commands U.S. forces with a policy that will be applied across the Middle East as he pours additional troops into Afghanistan. Is there any ambiguity about this, brothers and sisters? This is the agenda for the expansion of imperial reach, for increased warfare, for a huge increment in the number of troops. And what about the cost of that, as they spend $7.7 acknowledged trillion dollars on the captains of capital? every spare penny that isn't put into the pockets of the bank kleptocracy will be put into the pockets of the merchants of death as the apparatus of military rule is expanded on a planetary scale. That is why Obama's cabinet selections, as the World Socialist website stated so presciently on December 1st, win high praise from the right. Prominent voices from the political right are endorsing President-elect Barack Obama for his economic and national security teams. It's not just the Wall Street Journal. A rave from Karl Rove. Now, there's an endorsement that tells you a lot. Karl Rove is ecstatic over the appointments by Barack Obama, calling them sound, intelligent, reassuring, competent, inspiring indeed is the language that Karl Rove, the shady trickster of the Bush administration, lavishes on Barack Obama, who the Wall Street Journal points out, the person who talked about a speedy withdrawal from Iraq by selecting James Jones, the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, is reassuring us that the surge strategy in Iraq will be applied generally. President-elect Obama has given us reassurances about his future policy, his ability to shape it, and the quid pro quo between Gates and Obama. Gates has staked out his positions on missile defense in Eastern Europe, enlarging the military, modernizing the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Indeed, the very national security hallmarks of the Obama administration, which is embracing, by the way, note this, brothers and sisters, missile defense in Eastern Europe, that is escalating the challenge to Russia, putting missile defense in Poland, putting missile defense in Czechoslovakia, targeting all the major cities of the former Soviet Union and of Russia itself. Is this an agenda for anything more than expansion of military reach and expansion of war, brothers and sisters? The common ground, the New York Times tells us, for Defense Chief Gates and Obama. For the last 2 years, there's been a common ground. For the last 2 years, the politics of expansion of this war has been the common ground shared by Barack Obama and Mr. Gates. The rhetoric for the public has been rhetoric to do what? To con people, to enlist them, to seduce them, to essentially what? To effectively castrate a movement for transformation of our society, to take away its essence and to confine it to the politics of collusion and collaboration.
You've been listening to an excerpt from Obama's War Cabinet, The Depths of Duplicity. This was Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen speaking in December of 2008. And look what is unfolding today. As I started off the program with the New York Times headline, Commander's ouster is tied to shift in Afghan war. And what is that shift? Afghan war. Look at it. Iraq war, Afghan war, and we're also going to be discussing the war in Pakistan, the war the U.S. has been waging in Pakistan. Think about it. Now get on the phone, 212-209-2950, for your contribution of $60, and we hope you can contribute more. We will send you Barack Obama, False Hope, and Sure Change, over 11 hours of programming, 13 MP3 programs packed into one CD. We want to thank all of you who contributed last week. We met our match, and we went way beyond, and we hope to do so again today. But please, we can't do that unless you get on the phone, 212-209-2950. Ralph?
Barack Obama in 2004, when he was speaking at the Democratic Convention, articulated a prospective policy, not merely for the Democratic Party, but in any political movement in which he would be involved. Preemptive strikes on Pakistan, preemptive strikes on Iran, escalation of the war in Afghanistan, the right war, he said at the time. The concept of the long war that's described by Tom Hayden, which is part of a long-standing politics and policy of U.S. imperialism that we've documented over 8 years, brothers and sisters, describes something that the counterinsurgency specialist John Nagel, now the head under Obama of the Center for New American Security, describes as the following. a growing realization that the most likely conflicts of the next 50 years will be an irregular warfare in an arc of instability encompassing the greater Middle East, Africa, and Central and South Asia. The Pentagon official Quadrennial Defense Review commits the United States to a, quote, greater emphasis on fighting terrorism and insurgencies across this arc of instability for over a half century. A 10-year commitment in Afghanistan, calling for the destruction of the infrastructure of the society, the infrastructure of what is called jihad, the destruction to unfold not merely in Afghanistan, but across, quote, the arc of instability through South and Central Asia and the greater Middle East, unquote. What does that mean, brothers and sisters? A 50-year war? That means 50 years, six national elections, and the people of the United States are to be captive and hostage to this perpetual war of destruction and the unspeakable costs that are associated with it, but the atrocities as well.
Ralph, over $1 trillion in Obama's first budget, almost $1 trillion, that is exposed $1 trillion, is assigned for war spending for the Pentagon.
Well, let's look at what it means concretely in Afghanistan and across Pakistan today. A revealing article by Robert Kaplan in the Wall Street Journal was called Indian Country. Kaplan spoke of U.S. officers who stated, you want to whack the bad guys and cover your tracks with humanitarian aid projects. And Kaplan made a direct analogy between the 50-year-long war and Indian wars. The Indian wars that, quote, were conducted against decentralized tribal nations who had to be defeated in one campaign after another. Fighting the new Indian wars today, he continues in the Wall Street Journal, means the American footprint will be more effective in such an operation. Brothers and sisters, we are articulating and spelling out the role of Barack Obama in facilitating and expanding a continuing, constant war over a half century to come of conquest, of subjugation, and of decimation.
And, Michael, I can't hear the phones. I do hope they're ringing. We're here in California through the wonders of our telephone lines and the great ingenuity of our engineers at WBAI. We are coming to you today from our home in California. As you know, usually we record our programs at sister station KPFA in their studios and send by high-speed lines to WBAI. WBAI is the Pacifica station that sponsors Taking Aim, and we support WBAI, and we depend on each and every one of you, our listeners in the tri-state area, our listeners in California, our listeners in Oregon, Washington, and states throughout the United States, and our listeners internationally.
You're right, Maya. That's right. We are waiting for these calls to come in right now. We have one call on the line. We do need to give the number out for people to call, 212-209-2950. For a pledge of $60, we will send you Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change. Ralph Shoman and Maya Schoen have put this package together. We have volunteers standing by. We're ready to take your calls now. You can pledge on a number of ways. You could use Visa card, MasterCard, or American Express. We do have about another 25 minutes before the news comes along, but we do need to hear those phones ring. And that's just one call coming in right now. We have a room full of volunteers. We have people waiting to take your calls. We want to engage you. We want to take your phone calls, process your pledges. We do need to hear from you so bad. Two calls coming in right now at 212-209-2950, but we need 10, we need 15, we need a full board for Taking Aim with Ralph Shoman and Maya Schoen. We know that you're out there. When Ralph and Maya take phone calls, the phones are flooded with calls of listeners, from listeners. So we do need to hear from you now. Do you listen to this program on a weekly basis, Tuesdays at 5 p.m.? Well, we need to hear from you now. 212-209-2950. Here they come. Three calls on the line now. Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change. Do you hear this? Have you heard this anywhere else but a radio station like WBAI? It is even unique within the Pacifica Network. 212-209-2950. We have 5 calls on the line right now, Maya. We need 5 more of you to call for Taking Aim with Rouse Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Let's hear from you now. Make those calls for Taking Aim. Ralph and Maya?
Yes, what we're spelling out, Michael, in this series is a policy and a practice that has nothing to do with the expectation of Barack Obama.
Ralph, let me mention some of the 13 shows that are on the CD before you go on to do what we do best and what we do each and every week, which is to provide documentation and analysis. Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change, 13 jam-packed, intensely edited. I re-edited every single show. There were call-in shows such as Barack Obama, the Democratic Party, and the Corporate State, False Hope and Sure Change. We did 2 parts with that title. Entrapping Obama, the underlying politics of the NAFTA disclosure. That was an intense disinformation campaign. Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference, where we analyze why the policies of Barack Obama, in essence, were going to be very similar to those of George Bush. Barack Obama and the ethanol scam, serving the captains of capital. Again, this is an examination of a particular avenue in terms of energy and the relationship of Barack Obama to the humongous conglomerate Archer Daniels Midland. By the way, Dwayne Andreas, who had been the CEO of Archer Daniels Midland, had been the primary supporter of Bill Clinton prior to his relationship with Barack Obama. Again, next show, Barack Obama at the Service of Corporate and Finance Capital, an excerpt of which we played last week and will play again at 7 o'clock. Barack Obama embracing the totalitarian state, something we're going to discuss more and more in the coming weeks. Barack Obama, again, another show with Not a Dime's Worth of Difference in which we answered your questions. An election night call-in show and an assessment of Barack Obama, Soft Soap and Sellout, where we were demystifying people's expectations of what a Barack Obama administration would hold for them. Barack Obama's real mandate, that is preserving capitalism. And again, today's show, Obama's War Cabinet, The Depths of Duplicity. And we closed with an Inauguration Eve program, President Obama, Preserving a Decaying Capitalism. 13 intense shows setting out for you with documentation and analysis what these years are going to have in store for each and every one of us. Information that we need in order to effectively organize. Please get on the phone, 212-209-2950. And I'm going to hand over the mic to Ralph.
Maya, Barack Obama has called for an expansion of the operations, particularly the counterinsurgency operations in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. In Bob Woodward's The War Within, he reports on a radically expanded, quote, top-secret extrajudicial program of killing. He reports that the program of extrajudicial killing, quote, gave orgasms to General Petraeus's top advisor, Derek Harvey, and that these killings in which the Pentagon is judge, jury, and executioner are based entirely on informants and are spreading now across Afghanistan, and indeed they are an emulation of the death squad operations and are part of what is called a, quote, global Phoenix program, advocated by General Petraeus's leading counterinsurgency advisor, David Kilgullen. Jane Meyer in The Dark Side confirms that the Phoenix program became the model for programs of constant assassination.
Oh, Ralph, we've been at this a long time. It's been over 50 years ago that you were exposing the Phoenix program in Indochina. And yes?
Well, you know, China and Vietnam were the prototypic campaign which was visited upon the entire population and peasantry.
I want to say, Ralph, I'm not going to let you talk until I hear those phones ringing. please, 212-209-2950. Ralph?
We referenced the comment of Barack Obama to Amy Goodman about relying on 140,000 of the mercenaries. Jeremy Scahill, who did some such valuable work, brothers and sisters, in exposing Blackwater, writes as follows on May 8th. Obama readies troops as Afghans pile up body parts. Brothers and sisters, what we're doing here in this programming is documenting the reality and preparing ourselves, all of us, to understand that we have to conduct a resistance to these policies and have no illusions about the conscious deliberation of Obama and his administration in pursuing them. Jeremy Scahill writes as follows. Rage is spreading in Afghanistan after U.S. bombings killed 130 people. President Barack Obama prepares to send an additional 21,000 more U.S. troops into Afghanistan. Anger is rising across the western province of Farah, the scene of a massacre that killed 130 Afghans, including 13 members of one family. Six houses were bombed. Among the dead and wounded are women and children. And Scahill continues. The hours after Obama met with U.S.-backed President Hamid Karzai Wednesday, over 2,000 Afghans poured into the streets of the provincial capital chanting death to America. In Washington, Karzai said that the U.S. occupation forces have to operate, quote, from a higher platform of morality. He is under siege, Karzai. We must be conducting this war as better human beings, he said. This force will not buy us obedience, Karzai stated. Here's the New York Times. In a phone call played on a loudspeaker on Wednesday to outraged members of the Afghan parliament, the governor of Farah province, Rahul Amin, stated that 130 civilians had been killed. The governor said that the villagers brought two tractor trailers full of pieces of human bodies to his office. Everyone at the governor's office was crying, watching the shocking scene. These are reports on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. Whose policy is this? Who is overseeing this policy? Who is ordering this escalation of troops? Who is commanding the counterinsurgency operations in Afghanistan? We haven't even come to what they're doing in Pakistan, fragmenting that country on a scale that dwarfs what's taking place in Afghanistan.
We will discuss Pakistan as soon as we hear the phones ringing. Our goal is to make Taking Aim a premier show of WBAI, which you have throughout the years, the 8 years we've been on the air, you've been supporting us and supporting WBAI, and we're asking you once again, let's keep WBAI vital. We have for you what we consider a defining CD, a historic CD, in that it'll help you with your analysis of the Obama administration and help you with your organizing to reach out to each and every one of your friends and family and colleagues. Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. For your $60 contribution, 212-209-2950.
That's right, Maya. Thank you so much. Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen, there are two calls on the line now. We have to build upon that. What's happening is that folks are so busy. They're so caught up to listening to you and Ralph that they're not pledging. And so we're going to have to stop right now and encourage the listeners to support this radio station. Remember, for a pledge of $25, just $25, you can become a member of this radio station. $60 will send you this material, Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. We have lines available. We have listeners just like you standing by, ready to take your calls right now. 212-209-2950. Let's
and
hear those
Michael,
calls coming in right now. Yes, Maya.
Sometimes people wait, right? They wait for the last minute. And we are going to be on again at 7. And at 7, there will be new people getting on the listening to Taking Aim. So we depend upon you in this hour to show everyone, to encourage everyone to tune in again at 7. But right now, to encourage you to get on the phone, 212-209-2950, to build the momentum for taking aim in WBAI.
That's right. We have to build that momentum. There are three calls on the line now, and speaking of building momentum, that's four calls coming in for Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Schoen. We have less than 15 minutes, so we have to make that statement right now. We've been doing fantastic. We've been doing very well all afternoon. Since the morning, we've been doing very well, very, very well, but we have to continue the pledging. We have to continue the pitching. That is asking you for your support to make your pledges for Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Schoen. We have five calls on the line, and that's not even enough. We know that you are out there. You're listening across this tri-state area and in parts of Pennsylvania as well. 212-209-2950. We're going to thank some people in just a few moments to let you know where the listening audience is all around this tri-state area. 212-209-2950. Thank you for those calls that are coming in right now. Visa card, MasterCard, American Express. You can pledge electronically. You could send us a check or a money order. Ralph Shulman and Maya Schoen. 212-209-2950. Go ahead,
and
Maya.
And Michael, in this day, most people have with either their cell phones or their regular phones unlimited long-distance calls. So the call to 212-209-2950 can be made from Florida, from Arizona, from Kansas, from Oklahoma, from Illinois, from California, Washington, Oregon, all the states across the United States where we know, because we've heard from you, that people are listening to Taking Aim via the WBAI stream. Michael?
That's right, and we want to thank John from the Bronx calling in for Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Schoen. Ron Roberts from Peekskill, New York, thank you very, very much. Let's see, Jay Cohen from New Paltz, New York, thank you very much. Lincoln Brown from Brooklyn, New York, thank you so much, Lincoln. Really appreciate that. Let's see, what does this say? It says prisoner number 6. I think that's what it says, from Brooklyn. Thank you so much. Weston from Stanford, Connecticut. Jack Sassaline from Bedford Hills, New York. They're calling in. Where are you? Are you listening in New Jersey? Are you listening to us in Harlem? We had a call from the Bronx. What about Staten Island? Are you listening to Taking Aim, Staten Island? What about Connecticut? Connecticut, are you listening to Taking Aim? Well, we need you to take it another step. Take it that additional step and to become a subscriber. Become a member of this radio station, Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. $60, we'll send that to you. Thank you so much. Those, let's see, 3, 3, 6, 7 calls on the line now for Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Schoen. 10 minutes before the evening news comes along, let us hear from you now. Ralph and Maya.
And Michael, I'd like to mention that we have a large audience of people in prisons. Some of, you know, as you know, we help some people in the New Jersey prisons. And also we have a large listenership, and it's because of the radio, the broadcast area of WBAI, the large broadcast area in the tri-states, that prisoners who are captive are able to hear Taking Aim as well as the other WBAI programs each and every day, 24/7. And it is your contribution that enables them to have this air onto the world.
To break down those bars, brothers and sisters, that imprison all of us, we have to break the chains of illusion.
212-209-2950.
May 5th, Washington Post. What is the United States preparing in Afghanistan? Between 600,000 and 1 million Pakistanis have been turned into refugees in one area, the Northwest Federal, the Northwest Frontier area, the traditional federally administered tribal areas, and Fatah. Between 600,000 and 1 million refugees. As Barack Obama saturates the entire area with constant bombardment, and indeed the scale of this has expanded beyond Fatah and beyond the Northwest Frontier Province into Baluchistan. This is 170 million people in Pakistan that are under the target of U.S. imperialism.
And Ralph, it's even more ominous because at his April 29th press conference, President Obama described Pakistan's civilian government as, quote, very fragile, and not having, quote, the capacity to deliver basic services, quote, to its people or to gain their, quote, support and loyalty. This is code language. Code language for a U.S. takeover of Pakistan.
Well, he actually said, he Barack Obama added to that statement, Maya, the Pakistani military must be praised, and the strong U.S.-Pakistani military consultation and cooperation points to the future governance of Pakistan. Barack Obama is calling for another military putsch and another military regime to subordinate the mass of the population to the brutal and iron will of U.S. militarism, this time engulfing 170 million people in Pakistan.
And his chief of the U.S. Central Command, General David Petraeus, went on to send out a threat to the Zardari government, the elected Zardari government in Pakistan, that if it did not demonstrate over the next 2 weeks that it could crush the Taliban insurgency in the Northwest Territories, that the U.S. will have to determine, quote, its next course of action.
And in today's
next course of action. And then he also went on to praise the Pakistani military, and he even went so far as to say that it was superior to the country's civilian government. This is what we will be discussing on Taking Aim in the coming weeks, and we can only discuss it. We can only come to you each and every week with your support of WBAI, because WBAI is listener-sponsored. That means it belongs to each and every one of us. There is no corporate sponsor out there funding it. There are no commercials. We are able to bring you 55, 57 minutes of jam-packed, non-stop programming only because of your support. 212-209-2950. Michael, how are we doing?
Well, Maya, we have some open lines available right now. Let me say that. There are two calls on the line now for Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. It's 5:52 coming up. At 6 p.m. will be the evening news, so we need to hear from you now. You spoke of the final moments of said program, whatever that program is, and this is it, the final moments of Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. However, Ralph and Maya will be back at 7 p.m. Usually Tahrir, Voices of the Middle East here in the U.S. and abroad with Dr. Barbara Nimir Aziz is on at 7 o'clock. But Ralph and Maya are going to be on tonight. They're going to be going long. So we need to hear from you right now on this radio station, WBAI. You are Taking Aim listeners. We know that you listen, and we are asking you to become members of this radio station. Support this program. Again, Visa card, MasterCard, American Express, you can do that as well. You can come down to the radio station and help us answer phones. We certainly can use you to do that. But if you're listening to us, if you're before you leave work right now, we do need to have you make that call for Taking Aim. There are two calls on the line right now. That's what's going on right now.
That means you have an opportunity.
You have an opportunity.
We have volunteers. This isn't a situation where there aren't volunteers in the pledge room.
Brothers
and sisters, we have arranged so that you will have people there to take your call. Please, 212-209-2950. We're on 3 hours tonight because of your tremendous outpouring of support last week. Please, we will be on the air as long as you are supporting Taking Aim in WBAI.
It was a tremendous outpouring last week, Maya. That's why you have this extra time. We need to hear from you right now. There are two calls on the line, and we need to build this up. I mean, quite frankly, there needs to be 15 people calling in right now, and I know throughout this tri-state area there are 15 callers, there are 15 listeners that are willing to make that pledge of support for this radio station, for this program, particularly for this program. I'd like to thank Deborah Hollando from Morton Grove, Illinois. Let's say that again, Morton Grove, Illinois, listening to us online at WBAI.org. Sekou Osei from Brooklyn. Thank you so much, Sekou. Edward Kurtz from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Marcia Malkos from Spring Valley, New York, calling in for Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Now there are four callers on the line now. One call just dropped off, so we need to build upon this, Ralph and Maya. You have the final few moments of this program, but please make that call right now.
Brothers and sisters, here are the stakes. This is today's report in the Associated Press. Afghanistan's top human rights group stated it is investigating the use of white phosphorus in the bombings across Afghanistan. Doctors state villages wounded have unusual burns. Allegations that white phosphorus and other chemicals have been widespread and are now documented by the Afghanistan top human rights organization. After the Afghan massacre, again the Washington Post, Washington states the airstrikes will go on. In the final days of his trip to Washington, President Hamid Karzai, the puppet president, demanded an end to U.S. airstrikes in Afghanistan. General James Jones insisted the bombing of Afghan villages will continue, whether the country's sovereign government likes it or not. Brothers and sisters, what are we learning here? What are these programs documenting? What is the lesson to be drawn, brothers and sisters? Support this documentation, this analysis, this mobilization, this preparation for the struggles before us that are only just beginning now.
212-209-2950. Barack Obama, false hope and sure change. You've been there with us these 8 years. We have many new listeners. Now is the time to become members of WBAI. And we have prepared an incredible gift to you. Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change, 13 programs, 13 shows, over 11 hours and 15 minutes. Where else do you get that for $60 contribution? 212-209-2950. We want to thank each and every one of you who called. Please get on the phone again and call your friends and family. Tell them to tune in and also to contribute to make WBAI the successful station that enables us to come into each and every one of your homes, your workplace, your car, and to be with you through your iPods or wherever as you're on the trail. Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. This has been Taking Aim with
Roshanman
and Maya Schoen. We'll be back with you at 7 o'clock. Please tune in. And again, call in the interim, 212-209-2950.
Thanks very much, Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. They'll be back at 7 p.m. this evening, right after the evening news. 212-209-2950. 5-6 calls on the line now. We need to have every phone ringing. We have about 10 volunteers in the tally room right now ready to take your calls so you can join us. You can become a member. There will be no waiting. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Thank you so very, very much. You can pledge using Visa card, MasterCard, American Express. Electronically, you can do that as well. You can send us a check or a money order. The volunteers will guide you through the process. It takes about 2-3 minutes at most, and you'll become a member of this radio station. Support Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. They'll be back at 7 p.m. this evening. I'd like to thank also Govinda's Kitchen, healthy vegetarian lunch Monday through Friday from 11 until 3 p.m. They're located at 305 Skirmerhorn Street at Nevins. Call 718-885-6714. And thank you so much, Govinda's Kitchen. Thank you very, very much. They provided lunch this afternoon. Very, very lovely, lovely food. It's 5:59 in New York City. Upcoming, the evening news.